What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Hey, earlier today we covered quite the revealing webinar put on by the fine folks at Zogo Finance, and it was entitled Five College Students Reveal Things They Hate About Their Banks. And obviously a bunch of topics were discussed on this webinar, but one of my favorite parts of the webinar is usually toward the very end where the audience gets to offer their questions, kind of the Q&A section of the webinar. And so I chose a couple of questions to be featured in this clip, so check it out.
Madeline asks, what's the best way to offer educational sessions so that they won't conflict with class schedules? Podcasts, multiple offerings, shorter sessions? That's a good question, actually. I don't know. Deja, did you have any ideas of especially for high school students, like what would be a good medium so that it doesn't conflict with schedules? Like, do you think they'd engage with podcasts, let's say?
I think some people are into podcasts. I personally don't really like to sit and listen to people talk and I can't really see them. But I think Zogo is like the perfect example. You can do it when you want to. Just like with the credit cards, there's incentives for doing it. And then you learn a lot really easily. It's broken down, very concise, really simple. And then also you get tested on what you know just to make sure that you really understand. So I think just making it in such a way that it's easily accessible. Even if you did videos that maybe 5-minute videos about certain credit topics that you can break down, I think that would get people's attention, especially if the person narrating, if it was a cartoon or if it was somebody who, like Tyler said, is famous or something like that.
Yeah, totally. And I think for me personally, I actually learned a lot about personal finance through YouTube. So like I follow a lot of YouTubers that talk about personal finance, and yeah, like definitely for me, I like seeing like their face and like visuals to accompany it. And just like with YouTube, it's great because all the videos are pretty short and I can just watch them, you know, when my schedule allows. And yeah, when I was in college, I could just like watch videos in between classes. So yeah, I guess just like accessible content and just, yeah, I like personally prefer like visual mediums, like these kinds of discussions, let's say, or like YouTube videos over podcasts. But again, like podcasts are super popular. So it's really whatever works for you best, I guess. So Lynn says, would students want to spend time using an interactive online financial literacy platform if your credit union offered it? Did anybody have any thoughts on that?
Why not just Google it?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
No, really, I think that if it's gamified, yeah. I think the gamification, I guess something I'm willing to stick with. But I think it really just comes down to just honest truth, finding the shortest YouTube video or Investopedia or something that I can just very quickly Google and find the answers, like one of the first 3 top results.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, like, as you said, Google is such a great resource and it, you know, it holds all the answers, but it's about like how you present that to younger people. You know, we could all Google everything, but we just don't really like want to do that. We don't have like the patience to do that, or we don't want to read about it. So it's really about like finding different ways to engage younger audiences and like offer this information up in like ways that are like digestible to young people. And I guess because we grew up with mobile phones and screens, we're accustomed to that and we like sort of visuals to accompany that. So I think that's why for us at Zogo is such an incredible app, because it really integrates the interactive element, the like aesthetically pleasing visuals. It's like it quizzes you, it's engaging rather than just reading a text on like a Wikipedia page, which again offers the same information, but it's not, you really learn when you're like engaged with the platform and you're enjoying it. And with stuff, you know, looking it up on Google, it's not going to stick in your brain either, I guess. Well, that's my take.
Yeah, I also noticed that I missed the interactive part. Yeah, if it's interactive in like a game, I would definitely use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah. For sure. Okay, so, oh, wait, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just going to say just what Chuck was saying about, like, trying to find the shortest YouTube video for things. That's definitely me. Especially for something that I'm not, like, fully knowledgeable about, or I'm like, I had to watch a video about how to change a tire and I'm trying to find like the shortest possible one. That's definitely like part of our generation. I think that's that stereotype is true. We don't have very long attention spans.
For sure. I mean, I think especially with, you know, platforms like TikTok, it's, we're accustomed to like very short, like bite-sized videos. So you just got to play into that. I mean, frankly, Gen Z, you know, we don't have the patience for like long, like extensive videos. And if you really want to like engage, you just have to keep up with the times, I guess. And yeah, TikTok's like a great example of that. I follow a lot of like personal finance TikToks, and they just do like these literally like 30-second snippets of various personal finance things. And honestly, it's great. You know, I can watch it whenever, and it like, it still keeps me engaged because it's super short. So yeah, breaking it up. So next one. So Jordan asks, what is the best approach to create interest in financial literacy to high school students who show no interest?
I can talk about it a little bit. I know for me in middle school, in elementary and middle school, we had Western Mutual Wednesdays, which is where you could come as a kid and open up a bank account. So I think we didn't have anything like that in high school, though. So I think maybe transferring something like that over to the high school way, it's an easy way to get out of class, because I got out of class for an hour in elementary and middle school for no reason, really, just to learn about saving money. So if you tell someone they can get out of class and it's a way for them to make money, most people are interested. So if there's a way for institutions to come into schools, I know in some underserved communities they have that, just to teach kids and just a way to get out of class. Or I know in our AP economics class, just because you were in a higher achieving class, so to speak, you got to go on more field trips that shows you how to incorporate the knowledge that you learned in class more. So I'm not sure if banks or credit unions are able to partner with schools to help fund or give options about things that you could do or teach kids on field trips and things like that. I think it's more interesting for high school students. Of course, not everyone is going to be interested, but you do what you can and that's all you can do.
No, for sure. Okay, so Lynn asks, would you trust...
I add a point real quick to that?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
Sorry to interrupt. Just to emphasize what Deja said, we also had a similar program at my high school with Truemark. And I just would like to say that they were very successful in getting an hour out of class to get on a bus and go to Truemark and to open up an account and learn anything to get out of class for that 1 hour. That was like such a win to everybody. So that had a lot of participation in it, at least in my experience.
For sure. Awesome. So Lynn asks, would you trust a financial institution more talking via video chat versus making a phone call? So Betty, I think this goes back to what you were saying earlier, but did you want to comment on that? Like, what's your like favorite way of communication? I mean, I think I know it's not over the phone, maybe.
Let me just say, video chat will be even worse than a phone call. It will definitely be worse. What we want is to have everything written form. So having a live chat is definitely, I think, the way to go, because I think a video chat will not only take more time in case there's technological difficulties, but it's also kind of awkward that you're talking to someone and you have to see them. I think definitely, like, if you can just kind of have like a really, really good like customer service support, or maybe like a really responsive email address that people can send messages to, that will be very successful.
Thank you very much for that information, and stay tuned for more news here on CU Broadcast. And if you want to watch the entire webinar replay, go to Zogo's website, zogofinance.com, and go check it out there.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part. Is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs, because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.